Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Father God, we just give you all the glory. We just come before you, Father, in unity. We believe you to deliver every single thing that you wanted to deliver tonight. You said you wanted to touch people's lives tonight by the Spirit. So I ask that you touch every person that comes, Father. We will give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor forever.
What a glory!
Treasure chest full of beautiful jewels and gold, and it was like they were really giving him their life. They were putting things on the altar. They were saying, I give you my heart. I give you my decisions. I give you my business. I give you my children. I give you my spouse. Sometimes decisions like that access the throne. You want to access the throne in a new way. You bring something to him. But it may be something that was hard for you to give him, like a decision or your children. A situation that's been hard to let go of, hard to stop fretting about. Something somebody did to you. I feel like God is going to give us great things tonight. We're not going to preach. We're going to do something we call immersion, where we just hang out in the Holy Ghost and we deliver all that He wants His people, he said his people need ministry. More than they need teaching, they need ministry. We're going to try to obey and hear and take our time with it and give everything that he gives. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want to receive, see if there's anything he is asking of you. Someone here feels you've had hurt and anger. You're deeply wounded by some things that someone did to you. It was a Christian person and it hurt. And this one particular wound is very fresh. I actually saw, you know, sometimes I see scars on the heart, but in this case I saw a cut wound, a fresh cut wound. And the Lord said this to you. He said, now this could take years or this could take moments. But he said, that's not up to me. That's up to you. Sometimes we suffer too long with our wounds and our issues. We say, God, heal my heart. He says, you forgive first. You forgive and you bless. And healing is imminent. You say, but what they did was wrong. He says, was it worse than what they did to me? See, while they drove the spikes through my hands, eventually have to come back to this song. You'd wait 2 years, 4 years, 8 years, 16 years, wounded and hurt, mad, upset, feeling justified because that what they did was wrong. But eventually, you'll come back to this song, these words. It may be a different tune, maybe a different person singing or saying, maybe the still small voice, but sooner or later, you'll come back to this same spot before the throne. Lord, won't you bless me? Lord, won't you heal me? The words he says will be just the same.
Don't carry it. Don't carry this. It's to be for you.
He says,
I'm a genius at carrying things for you. Give it to me. Give it to me. My own kids. 지시 때를 내는 미소 때를 내놓았지 때를 내서
You know, this person I'm talking to, you know you are the bride. You know you belong to God and you love Him with all your heart. Don't let this be a stumbling block. Don't let this be a stumbling block. He says you've been down this road before and you won. You've been down this road before and you won. Don't lose it now. the wind of God blowing through you, blowing through certain people. Some things are blowing right out, and some things are blowing in. Like there's a deportation and an impartation. I heard things a long awaited for. Someone in here, I don't know what this is about, but the person it's for will know. I saw a knot, like if you took shoelaces and you knotted and knotted and knotted them in so many knots it couldn't be undone, so tangled up. And you've tried your best to get this untangled. And the reason I'm using these words is you've used these words to the Lord, like, I don't know if I can ever get this untangled. And the Lord says, I'm untangling this. All of it, he says. This is a strange picture, but I saw music in someone that has been in there, but you haven't known what to do with it. I don't know if it's songs or singing or what it's about, but I saw the wind hit that and it came alive, like it began to glow with the glory, like it began to glow gold. Something is coming forth that you've been waiting for, this person.
Every night I wait for you, I look for you to come.
come away. Come on in, come on in. My door is open wide. The curtain has been torn every night. I wait for you. I look for you to come. I know you love me too as I love you. Sometimes in the evening, I find my way to the secret place. I slip away to the dark side of the mountain, and there I hide from the world. Still my soul and quiet my heart, I sink deep down into his rest. Well, I'll find him waiting for me. He's been watching the garden gates all day, and our hearts are joined as one, as though we never were parted. Something long awaited for. Something you've been praying for a long time. Now, hope deferred makes the heart contact, but when it comes, it's a tree of life. It's a tree of life. Some of you have had hope deferred for years. And some of it has been so long and so hopeless, or seeming like, well, it's just been so long, I don't know that that could happen now, or maybe I misunderstood, or maybe it wasn't part of the plan. And so you kind of, you know, you still love God and you were still faithful and you still kept doing the stuff because it's right. But you were just kind of like, you know, that's what you do, right? You just keep going, you keep marching because it's what's right. You serve Him, you praise Him, you do the stuff because it's right. But in your heart, there's always this, whatever happened? I thought that was God. I thought that would be the way. And I see a door opening. And I see angels coming and delivering certain hope deferreds. Bags, each one has like a sack of hope deferreds. We received. You know, sometimes when a hope deferred shows up, He says, now you're going to have to believe Me. You know, because sometimes when hope is deferred too long, we become a little bit, you know, heart sick. And we start to say things like, I don't want it anymore. Because we don't want to be hurt anymore, right? I don't want to hope again. Don't make me hope again. Don't tell me this if you're not doing it. Anybody been there? I remember when it happened to me and my hope deferred showed up after decades. I didn't want it anymore, thank you. It's not that I didn't want it. It's that it hurt too much. Too many years had gone by. God said, well, guess what? We're doing this. We're doing this, Holly, whether you want to or not. I've obligated myself, He said, by My word. So we're doing it. So you might as well want it. As well like it. So you know what I did? I said, I repent. If you want this for Me, I will embrace it. And I will embrace it with all my heart. And I will embrace it with joy. A word for the men from the Father. So I'm going to stop playing because it's a little bit more complicated than I can, you know, the easy words I can do while playing. It's like chewing gum and walking. But when it gets more complex, I have to stop. This word is for some of the men from the Father. This word's from the Father. Some of you men were raised, not all of you, but some of you were raised under kind of a tough system. And you are not always treated with the respect and the dignity and the honor that I would have liked. And we all love our dads and we honor and respect them, right? But dads are just human. And some of our dads had some faults. But I saw this amazing exchange And if you're, I'm talking to more than one man, not every man in here, but if this is you, you'll know it. Some of you got a pretty fair amount of beating. Some of you got a pretty strong demand placed on you, and if you didn't meet it, you were kind of told that you didn't measure up or weren't good enough or things like that. And the Lord says to you, he says, I loved your dad, but he wasn't whole. And he didn't know how. You know, he didn't know how. Sometimes parents don't know how, and they do the best they know, but they don't know how to raise a kid. And he said, some of you were not the easiest to raise. But I saw a picture that is amazing. Your dad stepped back, and the Father God stepped in. And all the things that your dad may have had some measures that were not the way God measures, and it tainted the way you see manhood and life and godliness and marriage and so many things, right? Because what do we know except what our parents teach us? That's all we know, right? But I saw the Father gently doing an exchange, and I've seen many, I have a whole set called The Great Exchange, but nowhere in it have I ever seen where the Father was exchanging his fatherhood for your dad's fatherhood. His set of measures for your dad's. He's saying to you, these few men that I'm talking to, he's saying your dad did love you, but he didn't know how to measure things because guess what? His dad had some measures that were pretty tough too. So he did all he knew, right? And so God says, because of that, you haven't understood my value for you. How much I honor you. How much you are honored and respected when you come into heaven. When you come and bring your words before the throne. Heaven stops to listen. I listen when you talk. And you have enormous value and importance to me. And when you speak, I listen, I take it down. It's written down, it's written down, it's written down. And I am not an unjust judge. And I hate measures that are unfair or unbalanced. And I want you to know, not in your head, but deep on the inside, that I always have valued you. And when others haven't valued you, I have seen the greatness of God in you because I put it in there. I put it in there. And other people, they don't recognize always who you are because people can only see in the natural. They don't know. No human knows who you are, but I know who you are. No human knows your true gifting and calling, but I do. No human knows your worth and your value and what you're going to become, who you're becoming, the person that you're becoming, but I do. And I see you as though you're already there. And I talk about you, just like a proud dad. Did you ever see a proud father talk about his kid? That's how I am. I talk about you. I'm proud of you. And sometimes because of the way you grew up, the devil tried and was able to steal things from you. And in at least one case in here, he stole your self-worth. Because you did not feel valued by your dad, you actually believed you were not of value. But that is a lie, and it came from the enemy. And I saw God take his right hand and sweep that thing aside. And he said, be gone. Any form of self-loathing, self-worthlessness, self-hatred, self-doubt, second-guessing oneself, trying to prove yourself because you don't really think people will value you, God says, that's over. We're done with that program. you're going to begin to see who you are in the kingdom. You're going to begin to see how I have valued. You're going to see it everywhere you look in the Word. You're going to see how I feel about you and how important you are in this kingdom. And I have set your feet in the place where they are. I have set your feet in the place where they are to do a thing, to bring something forth that is majestic, that is holy, that is whole. Some of you will bring wholeness to others because you are going to be whole. Whole people can heal others. Broken people hurt others. God says, I'm making you whole as you've never been whole in your life. There's a man here, you've always felt like there was a piece of your heart missing for years. I don't know if it was always or if it's something that happened, but it's like a chunk was taken out of your heart. And it's been really hard. You don't show it because you're strong. That's what we do, right? We handle it and we put on the smile and we do business and we handle it. But God says, I am restoring that missing piece. The enemy took a big chunk out of you. And God says, I am making that whole. And you're going to laugh. I saw you laughing with the laughter of God, the joy of the Father, laughing this big. You ever heard the Father laugh? It's this rumbling, joyful, heaven-shaking laughter when God laughs. But I saw you laughing with that laugh, and it's a laugh that comes from wholeness. Once you get whole, your laugh changes because it comes from a place of wholeness. And suddenly you're free to know who you are and not feel ashamed or embarrassed or feel like you got to put on a front because you know who you are. It doesn't matter if people know it or not because you know. And God says, I am making you whole. And I am sending you out, each of you in a different way. You are going to impact other men because the kingdom needs for the men to come forth in a glorious way, not in a prideful way, but in a glorious, majestic, holy way. You know, Jesus was the strongest, the mightiest, the most whole, and yet the most loving and the most gentle. Isn't that amazing? And God says, if you'll let me, I'll do that work in your life. Because I'm going to bring you forth. I am not done. I am not done. I'm doing a work. I see wholeness. I see, now this word I think is for maybe men and women and maybe others that were not in that word. I saw that sometimes when things happen in our life, we have, well, the world calls it fragmentation, but it's actually like a brokenness. And it's like the way I saw it one time was a shattered mirror. And there's a scripture that says, unite my heart to fear the Lord. You know, like bring back all the pieces and make me one again. And God can do that, and he can do it in a moment. You can just quietly say, if you need that, just quietly say, unite my heart to fear the Lord. Because, see, God wants you whole. And whether you know it or not, see, people don't know God well enough, and so they think he's mad or upset or that he's looking at all their performance. God is actually smiling on you, and he loves you. He loves you, and he wants you whole. Hallelujah. So we're gonna do a little differently tonight. We're going to minister some more by the Spirit because I feel like God has put in my heart that people need ministry more than more teaching. Most of you know more than I do in your teachings. You listen to the greatest teachers on earth, right? They're available right on every channel. But God said he wanted to interact with you in some way, so we're going to do that. So before we go too deep, we're going to take a little breather. We'll do our announcements and get all that out of the way first. And then we can go sailing. Some of you are sailing now, and that's good. Stay in as long as you can, because what the Lord is doing is very important. Sometimes we call it surgery. Sometimes it's impartation. Sometimes it's deliverance.
Sometimes it's just drinking deep in his presence. And oftentimes people aren't familiar with this type of hosting of his presence. And so sometimes people get a little like squirmy or anxious. But have faith to know that even while you're struggling in your flesh, God is doing a work in you right now. And so if you feel like you're not getting anything, that's a lie from the enemy, because I can tell you, we like to call this type of a meeting an immersion meeting. And the English version would be a tea bag steeped in hot water. And the longer the tea bag stays in, the stronger the water gets. And consider yourself tea bags, because God is steeping us. And it's hard to measure it in the natural, so don't even try. A lot of times when you leave a meeting like this, you know, sometimes you know instantly, oh my gosh, that word was for me and I'm delivered, I'm changed, or oh my gosh, you know, lightning from heaven, I'm never going to be the same. But sometimes it takes a day or two, a delay, and you go, you know, something's different. I no longer have that rage, or I no longer, you know, have the urge to go do this. And so I just encourage you, this isn't your typical church service, and sometimes we're so used to the way things are that we don't yield to what the Lord wants to do. And you know, we try to really be led and move very slowly in what he's doing. And oftentimes it doesn't look like what you're used to. And that's not wrong. It's just that the Lord's doing something different right now for you. So I always like to just say, I receive it all in Jesus' name. And it's kind of like a blanket. I want it all and I receive it all in the name of Jesus. And I'll also tell you this. I don't know if we talked about this or not, but sometimes people will, you know, they'll leave a service and they'll go, you know, I just didn't get anything, you know. And when they say that, oftentimes they're in their head anyway. You can't measure it from your head what is happening in your heart. They're not the same system. So the enemy is the one that wants you to say, I didn't receive anything, because then, you know what, he's got license to say, hey, she said it. So careful of your words. And I know the Lord's doing some mighty things in here tonight. I'm watching and seeing and just joyful in what he's doing. So stay in. And if you get, you know, there's going to be distractions. That's just how it is, you know. And so you might be the distraction, and you might just have to say, self, quiet down. And I've had to take myself around the back of the building more than once and give myself a talking to. And I'm serious. I'm not making that up, okay? You know, my insides were having a little temper tantrum, or I'm thinking something should be different. And there's this battle between my emotions. And then I realized, hey, wait a second, I have authority over this. And so I don't ever do it in front of people, maybe once in a while. But I say, you know, flesh, you have no say in this. Shut up and sit down, and we're going to receive what the Lord has. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it helps. I'm just saying. Sometimes it's good to give ourselves a little talking to so we can line up with what the word is tonight.
Okay, hallelujah. We really felt the Lord wanted to minister to you, so we're just going to continue to listen to him and release what he has. Some we may call you out, we may not, because some words are for multiple people. Sometimes we may release a word of knowledge for healing. We have seen as many as 4 and 5 people healed off of one word. So don't worry, oh, is that for me? If you're in this room, it's for you, okay? So I felt led to share something. There's someone in here, at least one person, that you have desired and possibly walked in to some level the word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge is it's a secret from God that God tells you about someone's need, or it's never to judge the person. It's always to help them. It's always to bring them to the next level or release something to them. It's often coupled with the word of wisdom. Okay, the word of knowledge is what is it, and the word of wisdom is what do I do with it. Okay, so often you will give a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. Now, what I felt like he wanted me to share, I very rarely share this because people might really think I'm strange. But I operated in this for many years, and one night I was taken to a place that was a room. It was like a room, and I was kneeling, and there was a hole in the floor. And this room was a heavenly room. I know this is odd, but just go with me. And there was an angel behind me, and he would hand me something for someone, and I would push it through the hole. He was giving me, the Lord was releasing to me through this angel, something for a person in the earth. Now, that's strange, isn't it? But a word of knowledge is something from the Lord for a person, and you are the UPS man, okay? You are the delivery method. You're the guy, you ever see the Amazon? They come to the door, ring the bell, you know. Well, if you're operating in really almost any of the gifts, you're the delivery method. And there's at least one person in here who has felt prone to the word of knowledge. You've desired it. And I felt like I shared that because I felt like the Lord was saying for me to release that. And right now I just release an open impartation of the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, that the Lord will help you to grow in it and develop it until there is a great accuracy. People say that I prophesy, but most of what I do is word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I do prophesy occasionally, but most of it is those two gifts. And so we release that to you. If you would like that, say, I receive it. And you'll still have to grow in it. When I first started operating in it, an amazing man of accuracy that I knew. I know him very, very well. I've known him many years. He's just spot on accurate. And when I asked him some questions, he said these words. He said, I want you to develop that gift. And so it isn't like a thing you just have it or you don't have it. It's something you grow in as you use it. The more you use it, the better you get. The more you use it, the better you get. The more you use it, the better you get. And so God is releasing it to you. I believe he desires for his children, all of his children, to be used broadly in the gifts, because the gifts prove to people God is real. God is real. When you tell somebody something that nobody knew and that God cares about it, they know. They know it's not you. They know it's God. And so I just release that to you in the name of Jesus. So this is an issue of a heart, and I believe it's more than one person. You knew you were supposed to come to this conference, and you actually battled to get here, and you had certain expectations of the way you thought things are going to be, and it's nothing like that. And the Lord is actually saying, "Will you trust me?" And if you make if you say, "I will trust you, Lord," I see the door swinging wide open of a walk in the Spirit of such abundance and such blessing and such revelation and such goodness. But I see you outside the door. You're at the door, but you're struggling with head knowledge and the way you think things should be, and it's preventing you from receiving packages. And I actually see packages behind that door stacked, waiting for you. And so, if that's you, all you have to do is by faith say, "Jesus, I believe. I trust you." I heard the word heartache, and I said, "Lord, what's that about?" And I heard that there's a relationship that was broken, and I believe it has to do with a son or daughter, that there's been a sort of a break in the relationship between you and your child, and there's a heartache, and there has been for some time, and it has, I actually am hearing the word anguish, and the Lord knows what it's like to have a child that he loves be estranged. He knows about the prodigal son. And I believe the picture he's giving me is that his hand is on this child. And I hear him saying, "Don't worry, I know it looks bad. And I know it seems impossible. But it is not impossible. And I am doing a work. Continue to trust me. continue to thank me for them. Name their name and say thank you that that person is reconciled to God and reconciled to me. Amen. Just keep thanking God. God wants to bring them first and foremost into Him, into wholeness, and then into, back into relationship with you. And I also hear Him saying, I know your heart and I know how much it hurts. I know what it feels like to lose someone you love. I know what it feels like to lose a child that you love and that you want relationship with them, but they aren't ready, or they don't want it, or they misunderstand you. He says, I know exactly what that's like. I deal with it every day. And He said, so I want you to know I do understand your cries and your prayers and your wounding, but I want you to just keep thanking me that they're reconciled to God, they're made whole, and then they're reconciled to you. Just keep thanking me.
I heard the word runner, and at first I had a picture of somebody running, but as I asked the Lord about it, it actually is somebody who has a call on their life but is running from the call instead of to Jesus. And there's a lot of distractions and obstacles that you keep jumping over, and I hear the strong call of the Lord calling you into the center of His will, and there's some fear that is blinding you and causing you to look at some stuff in the natural and try to justify or relate to why you should not have to do what the Lord is calling you to do. And it's like an excuse you're using or a justification, but it's all trickery. And the trickery is based on some old woundings that still penetrate or prick at your heart and cause you to react. And I hear the Lord calling you home into His arms. And when you, I don't know much about running, but I hear him say, when you set your course, you know, it's like, I see you making the, you haven't made the determination yet, but I see when you make the determination, the strides are giant leaps, and they're straight into the Father's arms. And from there, I see this explosion of His glory and revelation and your true actual giftings. You operate right now in gifts, but I see an increase, and I see this measure of glory just well, first, you, it looks like you are exploding into Jesus in His arms, and the explosion of the glory, it actually starts to drip off you, and I see you learning to walk in this. And okay, that's it.
Amen. I saw a fire. It was like a healing, it was like a quick healing fire. And it hit the front of the neck. I believe it's the healing of the thyroid. I saw it like a shot of fire going through, but it is a healing fire. I also saw a fire at the back of the elbow. I saw someone that has had an issue, and it's kind of been on again, off again. But it's been for a long time, too long, the Lord says. And I saw this fire hit the elbow, and He is healing that. And if you don't know how to receive, just say, Lord, I receive it. I'll take it. I'm seeing the upper part of the digestive system, like at the top of the stomach. And so I don't know if it's the stomach or more like the esophagus or what, but this person, I think what you've had is acid reflux, and it's been, at times, it's been over the top. And I saw God like turning a dial and adjusting your system. He's adjusting, thank you, Lord, He's adjusting your pH level. He's bringing you into balance. And He's going to bring your, this is a physical healing. It's a physical healing of the digestive tract. I heard the words, never again. Never again.
I see somebody with a neck issue. It's not the actual neck, but it's like right below the neck. I think they call that like the upper shoulder area, like between. And you've dealt with this off and on for a long time. And as I'm seeing in the spirit, I'm actually seeing like this pressure deep in underneath the skin, like in a muscle. And it's actually from carrying worldly burdens. And I see the Lord just wanting to heal you from that. And it's mm-hmm. a simple release of, Lord, I release these burdens to you. And when you, the burdens are, you've carried them for so long, you actually have names for them. And they've become your friend. And I see the Lord, they're comfortable. You've been comfortable with them as it's what you've done for so long. But it's also caused some physical pain and emotional pain. And the Lord, I see him just standing there wanting to take those from you. And so if that's you, all you have to do is say, I release these burdens into your arms right now, Jesus. And I hear him saying, be made whole.
There's someone in here. God has talked to you many times about your calling, and you know that you're called, and you love God with all your heart, but you're kind of like I was. It's just a little overwhelming, and it's a little fearful. And God wants to release you into... He wants to help deliver you from fears. What happens is you know you're called, but you kind of dismiss it. You know, when people say stuff about you, kind of, well, you know, and you like do this humility thing. That's not really, it's really fear is what it is. But God says, I have a job for you to do, and I don't have somebody else like you that can do this job. So I feel like he's saying he will help you. He will deliver you. From the fear of man. And, you know, I was born terribly shy, like freaky weird shy. Like I was terrified of people. I was afraid of big people. I was afraid of loud people. And I thought it was just shyness part of my personality. And the Lord said, no, it's the fear of man. And you need to get rid of it, because how can you minister freely if you're afraid of people? And so God is going to free you, because you got somewhere to go for Jesus Christ. You got things to say, and you know they're of God in your heart. You know it. And God wants you not only to go and deliver it, but with boldness and with confidence, because you have something to say in a way that the rest of us can't say it. So it is important. And don't think, oh, he'll find somebody else. He's already found somebody, and it's you. Brother Joshua, are you in here? That's you. I saw a picture of you, and I saw that God had raised you up a couple feet. It was like raised you up a few feet onto a platform. And from this platform, you could see in a more clear way. You know how if you're in a crowd of people, you can just see like the backs of their heads. But I saw him raise you up a little bit. And from that vantage point, you could see with a greater clarity. And because of that clarity, you're going to begin to know more about the body of Christ and what they need. I believe God is going to help you to see some things about the body. And one of the things that God sometimes, I'm just going to give you an example. Sometimes when you're talking to somebody and you see that they have a problem, you're not just dealing with that person. What you're looking at is a cross-section of the body of Christ. So if one person has a problem, let's say with whatever, drugs or a certain temptation or a mindset, you're actually looking at a cross-section of the body of Christ. And I feel like God is going to show you those things because he's going to show you methods to help people. Methods to help people. This is a strange word. I heard the words identity marker, and I saw the Lord opening. There was like, it's hard to give it English words, but I saw like your identity covered over by life and on this earth, and I saw the Lord peeling away like the layers and reaching and like almost activating your true identity. And when it happens, it's actually a suddenly. It's not like a process. I just see him. It's a quick move of the Lord because you've been confused on who you are. That's really interesting. As right as Laurie was saying that, I was seeing a similar picture, and then I heard what she was saying. And the picture I was seeing, there's several people in here, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you have seen yourself in a wrong light because of the way people spoke to you, because of words. You know, words have more power than we realize. And sometimes people say things to us, even when we're little, or, you know, especially if it comes from a leader of any kind or a parent, it can actually cast a certain focus. And if we accept it as truth, well, that's bad enough. But if we begin to believe that, we can actually step into an identity that is absolutely not true. We can actually believe a lie about ourselves. And if we believe it long enough, it takes root and becomes a part of who we are. In other words, who we think we are. So a person, let's say that a person might say, well, I have a problem with this temptation. But if that becomes something they believe about themselves, then they say, I am, like they say they are an alcoholic, or they are a drug addict, or they are addicted to porn, instead of saying, you know, I realize there's an issue, but God can heal me. And some words were said to you. I think this is for more than one person, so I'm not going to point out, but there were words spoken over your life. And there's a person in here, there were words spoken to you even before your remembrance. You were very, very little. The words that were spoken were not correct. And they have caused you to take on an identity. And I actually saw one person a few years ago, you said, I'm not going to be that anymore. I'm going to be this. But here's what happened. You actually took on a false identity. The reason I know about this is I have done it. I had to be delivered of that one. Because what we do is we say, well, I'm going to become what people expect. Or I'm going to put on this mask. Or I'm going to take on this persona. But that's not who you are either. God wants you to learn your true identity from him, and he wants to make you so whole in it that you actually like yourself. God wants you to be so whole that you like who you are, you're comfortable in your own skin, and it's okay with you if people don't get it. And that's wholeness, and God is bringing you into wholeness. There's one person here, God's going to give you a dream. A nighttime dream that's going to clarify why there's been a problem, why you've struggled, why I see this one person, and it's like you've been trying to get through this gate, you've been trying to break the gates, you've been trying to, and the gate is like at a horse track, you know, where they're going to race, and the horse is in that cage, right, waiting for that gate to open, waiting for the bell, and they want to go, and you haven't been able to take off. You know you're called. You know you're supposed to run the race. You know you're supposed to do it, but you can't get that gate open, and you haven't been able to, and God is saying, this is why. It's because you have seen yourself as something that you're not, and it isn't as good as what you really are. It isn't as true. It isn't as whole. It isn't as mine. When I created you, I put certain things in you. From the moment of your conception, there have been things about you that are unique to you. That's who I am. That's what I do. And I put things in you, each of you, that have a purpose and a function. And if you go through life fulfilling other purposes and functions because you think that's what people expect, or even because it's what you expect, that may be good, but that isn't who you are. And so you will always be struggling with second best, never able to break through that barrier. And God is freeing that up tonight. This is actually, I'm actually feeling that this is a number of people. There's one person here, you've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. And you took a lot of heat from people. You took a lot of persecution from people because you kind of fell apart at the seams. Because it was just too much. And God has told you, he's raising you up. He's told you he has a plan. He's told you that he's actually going to do a mighty work. I heard a great and mighty work. A great and mighty work. But what I saw was because of what you've been through and what people have thought and what people have said and all the labels, I saw all these labels stuck on you. I saw labels stuck to your shirt, stuck to your back, stuck to your jacket of what everybody thinks. And God's peeling those off and saying, that is not who I ordained you to be. And because of all these labels, I saw a picture of you and I saw you standing back. And it was like you were standing on the outside looking in. You knew there was a great and mighty work, but you wouldn't just go for it because this has been too hard. It has hurt too much. You've kind of just wanted to just wash your hands of it and say, I don't need this. I don't need any of this. I'm going to go do something else. But God is saying, I'll even honor you if you do that, but that's not the great and mighty work. You are called to a great and mighty work, and I raised you up to do it, and I put in you things that no one has seen. No one has seen what I put in you. No one has understood the fullness of what I put in you. And so if you're continually apologizing and backing off and hiding out, because you're afraid of how it'll look or what if I fail or because you can't take one more person thinking of you as a failure. It's not true. I don't make failures. The Lord is saying, I do not make failures. And the only failure is if through fear, I'm seeing torment. I'm seeing tormenting thoughts. I'm seeing fearful thoughts. Like, I don't want to try again. I'm tired of trying and getting clobbered. I'm tired of trying and getting clobbered. I'm tired of all the stuff people have thought of me and said of me. And your peers, even peers who should know better, even leaders who should know better, have said things and have kind of looked aside. They've treated you with disrespect. They haven't come out and said it, but you could tell. You can feel when people don't respect you. And that's been hard, but let me just say this to you. That's exactly what they did to Jesus. That's exactly what they did to him. And Jesus is saying the difference between me and you is I understood who I was. I understood that I was made in the image of the Father. And I wouldn't quit. I knew there would be people who didn't get it. And I knew there'd be people who'd hate me without a cause, who'd try to kill me and eventually would kill me. But I knew another thing too. I was put on this earth to do a great and mighty work, and I wasn't going to go home until that was done. And he's saying, I want you to do the same. And I want you to trust me enough and have enough grit to say, you know what, I don't care if people don't like it. We're doing this. I'm all in, Lord. That's what he wants you to say. I'm going to quit hiding outside. I'm going to quit listening to this lying, stupid, tormenting spirit. I'm getting in. I'm going to do the thing I was born to do. And I'm not going to apologize for it because God is going to do it through me. And I'm going to tell you something else. He will not do it through another person because this is your work to do. He has assigned it to you. You were born for it. You have the DNA of it. There is no one else that can do it. And by the way, you're a lot more gifted than you know. You're a lot more gifted than you know. You have not wanted to take credit because you've been afraid that it would be seen as pride. It's not pride to know who you are. It's not pride to know who you are in God. And God says, deep down you do know, but you have hidden it and you've hidden from it. And he says, no more. No more.
I want you to jump in feet first. And I want you to say, we're doing this great and mighty work. And I don't care if people like it. And I don't care if people don't like it. Because we're going to finish this thing. We're going to finish it on the earth. It will be great. It will be mighty. And I'm not looking back. And that's what he's asking of you. You were born for this. This person I'm talking to, you were born for this. You were born for it. It's like I can see the thumbprint of God when you were in the womb, just whoo, the thumbprint of God. Every person in here, you have an identity that you have not understood. I don't know if any of us, because it unfolds over time, right? We learn day by day. But this is a big deal to God, because if you don't get this, and if you disrespect yourself and discount yourself or disqualify yourself because of what people say or because of your own opinion, then you can't fulfill the thing you were born to do. That thing called running the race, that is all about the fact that Paul said, I fought the good fight, I ran my race, I finished my course. I did the thing I was born to do. And I feel like God is holding that out before each of us, every person in this room. Is Brother Dave in here? Is Dave Henman in here? Okay, he's hiding. Dave, God says to you, I have called you and appointed you. You spent the first part of your life getting beat up. You spent the first part of your life just taking it and handling, you just took it and took it and took it and took it. And you've been faithful and true. But God says, I am raising you up. And for every word that was spoken that was unkind, every word that was spoken that was a wrong measurement of who you are, God says, I'm going to take that off and I'm going to show who you really are. I'm going to show, God says, I'm going to show who you really are. And he said, you will be amazed and people will be amazed because I am not done here. I'm not done. I am not done, the Lord says. Lori, what are you doing in the back?
I'm in the back.
Well, I see God raising people up, you know, in the spirit. Like Lori was talking about, some people are getting their training wheels for the first time. Some of them are getting their training wheels taken off and they're riding. Some of them are on scooters. Some of them, flying in jets. We're all at different levels. Well, what I saw was people who you've operated, and it looked like you were, you're new at this and you've learned some things. But I saw God growing you up quickly because of the day we're in, very quickly. He said, if you will pay attention to me and stay in the place with me, I will raise you up quickly to do a work that you almost wouldn't believe if I showed it to you. It's so much that if I showed it to you, almost wouldn't believe me. Because I want to release you into the earth with my word on your lips, and the word will be like a fire. There are some words that are spoken that are, they don't come from the flesh. They come from the Spirit of God. And you're nothing but the channel through which they flow. You're like a pipe through which they flow. And when that happens, there's a fire that comes. It's a fire that comes from the throne, and no one can deny it. Because when a fire comes from God, from the word of the Lord, it enters a person's heart, and it goes like an arrow in their soul. They know that God has done something to them. They know it. And God wants to put his word in you like a fire, where it won't actually, your mouth will speak it, because God has to use somebody's mouth. He needs a human flesh to use in the earth, the way it works. But it is his spirit, and it will flow from the throne through his spirit, through your spirit, through your mouth, but it will be tinged with fire. God is increasing the level of fire.
Yes.
God is increasing the level of the fire we walk in. And to those that will take the time to purify themselves and to sanctify themselves and to pull back from the world a little bit, pull back from the world, set apart unto God, set apart unto God, and become wholly his, you would just be amazed at how he'll use you. Because a person who stays in the Holy of Holies, you don't have to get weird about it. You don't have to tell people about it, but I'm going to tell you. There's a place, and the Bible tells us to come into the Holy of Holies.
by a new and living way, by the blood of Jesus. It's a place. It's a place where we come before the Father. It's a place where we're changed and delivered and set free, where we learn. And every time you go, you're changed a little bit more. Every time you show up, a fire gets a little greater. You never can tell what's going to happen. It may be huge, it may be little, but every time you go, whether you feel it or not, you have been changed. You go in that place and you come out and you realize, hey, that thing is gone. That attitude, that's gone. That habit is gone. There's someone in here, your heart is burning as I speak. If your heart is burning within you, remember they said, did our hearts not burn within us? When we walked with him by the way, when he was talking, who was that man? Did our hearts not burn? If your heart is burning, God is talking to you. And he's talking to you about your life. And he's saying, I'm going to raise you up. I'm raising you up to do a thing in the earth. And don't tell me, oh, my circumstances won't allow it. I tell you, they will. I tell you, I'll make a way where there is no way. I will make a way where there is no way, because I will have my word spoken in the earth. And I will have it spoken not by some intellectual giant, but by someone who spent their time at my feet getting the goods from me. Who wasn't satisfied with just another sermon or just another good message put together, but had to say, what is your message to God's people? What is your message to the lost? What are you saying, Father? I won't settle for less. And if you'll have that heart, God says, I will fill your mouth. Open your mouth and I will fill it. There's someone here, you're called to prophesy with fire, I'm telling you. You're called to bring forth something. Listen, you're called to bring forth heaven on earth. That's what we're called to do, all of us. We're called to bring the presence of God to a people so they can say, oh, that's what you're talking about. Oh, I get it now. That's what Christianity is. They've been confused for a long time. God's trying to raise up a people that manifest him. They manifest his presence in the earth. There's nothing like it. The earth doesn't have anything like it. And in this day, I'm telling you, it's almost like the word is burgeoning, almost like something. You know, when Mount St. Helen blew, when that volcano blew, listen, they knew ahead because they would fly over it in copters and the mountain was expanding 50 feet a day and they could look in and see the fires and the mountain was literally every day burgeoning like vr, 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 and they knew it was going to blow. And the power of it when it blew was so vast. And I believe God is doing a thing. He wants to do a thing in the body. But right now we're at this time. I'm telling you, we've never been at a time like this. I don't believe we've ever been at a time like this where we stand at the very precipice where people will decide whether they will or whether they will not stay in the flow of the Spirit and stay in Him. And there's a big move of the enemy to bring apathy on people. A spirit of apathy. It's, oh, that's nice. I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, it's apathy. It's a lying spirit. Fight that thing. Fight it. Don't settle. I'm telling you, we're standing. God has been showing me this precipice for a long time. But I saw the great eagle of God being shoved off the edge. And I saw this, the prophetic mantle of the body of Christ. I'll say it that way. The eagle always represents the prophetic. I saw that some, though, will fall. Because they'll say, you know, that's a little too hard. I don't really want that. I like things of the flesh. I like religion. I like the form. I like all that stuff. So there will be some that will say, I'm not that interested, and they'll yawn. Is it time to eat yet, they'll say. You know, the Word talks about that. Oh, that's really nice, Holly, but you know, isn't it time to eat yet? But God is saying, if you will, I feel like for a long time there's been gray that has been allowed, a gray area. I think that's over. I think now is a time where we say, I'm in or I'm done. I'm in or I'm out. And I feel like God is pulling on our hearts. If your heart is burning, I'm telling you, God is preparing you. If your heart is burning in you while God is saying these things, I'm telling you, He has set you apart to do a work. It won't look like this work. It'll be uniquely you. There's nobody like you. Think about it. Think about some of the people who are greatly used of God, and you can't find anybody else like them. Could there be two Joyce Meyers? Could there be two Andrew Wammers? Could there be two Reinhard Bonnke's? No. Uniquely you. You're the only one that can do what you're called to do. But in whatever capacity is, God wants to bring you into the place of the Holy of Holies where you sit at his feet and you don't just get words and you don't just get wisdom and you don't just get understanding, although you do get those, but you get in you a holy fire that can only come from the throne. Isaiah was a prophet called to the nations, but he had an encounter, and from the day he had it, when the coal touched his lips, the burning coal touched him, and he was undone, it's like he became another man. And God is offering this to us. He's looking for people. Does it mean we have to change some things? You bet. Does it mean we have to say, well, I guess I don't do that anymore. I'm not interested in that anymore. It's all rubbish anyway. It's all rubbish anyway. All that stuff, we're going to find it to be worth nothing. We are called apart. We are set apart. And not everybody will come. Don't let it throw you. Some people say, I'm not interested, thanks. I only wanted the blessings. There'll be some people in your life, you'll say, I can't believe they fell away. But listen, if things get hard, they're going to be like, I didn't really mean that. I just wanted to bless. I wanted God to bless me. You know? And I'm not against the blessing. I'm radically blessed. But my priorities are right. Jesus Christ first. Jesus Christ first. His glory, his honor, his kingdom first. And if you can get that, I'm telling you, you won't be able to handle all the blessings that will fall upon you, that will chase you down the road, that will come to get you. Because when you put him first, listen, as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. And the measure you use, it's measured back to you. He wasn't talking just about money. He's talking about your life. People give him half their life, but they want all of his stuff. They deign to give him a little part of their day, but they want all the blessing. It's garbage. I like the place where I say, you can have all of me, all I have, everything I know, everything I am, and you can do anything you want with it. But guess what? I'm expecting everything of you. Everything, God. All you got. I'm going to tap you for it, and I'm going to tap you for it in faith. I don't have any problem being bold in faith when I ask for God. And you know why? Because he's tapped me for everything. I feel like I'm supposed to share this. One of the first visions I ever had was a woman who died in childbirth. And it scared me because the woman was me. But this is for some of you. The baby lived, but the woman died. And at first, I was young in the Lord. I didn't speak parable. I didn't understand these matters. It took a long time to figure it out. But this is what God is saying to some of you. Some of you said to God, I will do anything for you. I want to be used of God. I want to do something for you. I want to be used of God. You may have used different words. Well, you know what he was saying to me with that vision? That's great, Holly. But Holly has to die. Your desires, your dreams, your goals, all your doodah, your plans, your programs, it all has to die. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. And it's hard and it hurts. It hurts. There's no words for how excruciating it is. You feel like you're going to really die. And at the last part of it, he says, okay, now you're going to die to the very thing you're dying for. You're going to die to ministry. The very thing that made you follow this path all this far and live this long and keep up, you're going to have to die to that too, because it can never be your ministry. It can never be anything you did right, ever. Because you didn't do anything right. And this baby, let's talk about the baby for a minute. This baby is to be wholly his. Wholly pure. We don't add to it. We're not supposed to add to it or take away from it. It's supposed to be straight from the throne. Do you know how many people feel called of God and run off and build the stupid thing in the flesh? And then it fails and they say, I don't understand why it didn't work. Because it was a work of man. It would be the same as if God gave David the instructions for the temple
And then Solomon just went off and built it any old way he wanted. No, God told him to the cubit. I mean, to the inch. How to build that thing. And he said, be careful. Listen, when he talked to Moses about it, listen, Moses got instructions for the tabernacle, and God said, be careful to build according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain. That's why we have trouble in the church. That's why we have trouble. People run off and do what seems good, they think is right. God has to the inch a plan that never fails, a blueprint that will never fall down, a house that can never be shaken. And when you build it, listen, when you build it, you're building something that will last eternity. What you build, the structure you build, the things you build in the spirit will last for eternity. The stuff you build in the flesh, it'll go through the fire. What did he say? So the man will be saved, but so as by fire. If the wood, hay, and stubble, that's going to burn. That's the stuff we do in the flesh. We may have meant well. We may have done it in a heart of love, but it's still stubble. But that which is gold and silver and precious stones, no fire can touch that. In fact, the gold starts looking better. Because that's the stuff that was done by the Spirit. If you don't have your blueprints, go get your blueprints. And he won't probably give them to you all at once, but keep going back. Keep going back. How about this? How about this? How big is this door? I'm talking about the work of your life. You have a life work. Every person in here has a life work. Most people have never even considered to go get their blueprint. Let me just ask this question. Who are you? Do you know? Who are you in the earth? What were you put here to do? And like Paul, at the end of your life, what is it that would make you be able to say, there, I did it. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I ran the race. What is that thing or those things that you could measure and say, there, I did it? God is not condemning us, but he is saying, if you don't know that, you come to me and you keep coming to me and you keep coming to me. I'm still going. I go all the time. How about this? What about this window? What about this door? Still building, still learning, still growing, but building something that will last eternity. Listen, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. We need to change the way we do stuff. I didn't mean to preach on you, but Laura, you got something?
So I know some of you are like, I'm tired, but I want to tell you something. This is the best time to receive because it's like your defenses in the natural start to get a little not sharp. And, you know, Holly touched on that spirit of apathy. And I don't want to alarm you, but it's my job to awaken you. And this is not something in the natural. This is there's people in here that are really struggling and they don't even know they're struggling with the spirit. And that's the problem, is it dulls you over to the point where you don't even know anymore that you're in danger. And friend, you're in danger. And and here's how you know it's you. You'll start to feel, uh-oh, I think that's me. And it's not you. It's just a few people in here that I'm shaking you in the spirit. Wake up, wake up. The check engine light is on and your car is about to burst because there's no oil. You have not visited the throne. You don't even know how to go to the throne. And you act like you do and you say the right words and there's no condemnation here. But Lord, the Lord is calling his bride and he's talking about the day when he returns. His foot is coming, and when it comes, will you be made ready? And you've learned to practice the words and say the things that you were taught to do, but they're flesh, and the flesh profits nothing. And so awake, awake, O sleepy one, and come into the position of the bridal chamber. Come into who you were created to be. Awake, awake, O sleepy one. Slumber no more, because he is knocking at the door. Do you hear him? Can you hear him? Awake, awake, eyes open, ears open. Come alive in the kingdom of God. Spirit man, rise. Spirit man, rise. Come and drink of the well, the living water. Be purified, be purified, be made whole. But wake, awake, O sleepy one, while there's still time.
Amen. You know, in the spirit, sometimes you can see this kind of black webby stuff. And it's like a spider web, and Satan tries to spin it on people who've been away too long. And it makes you kind of dull, right? But you don't know it. You don't see it. It's happened to most of us, to be honest with you. Do you ever feel like there's a little confusion? I'm just a little dull, a little hazy. Oh, I used to want that. I don't really don't want that anymore. That is a spiritual issue. Right now, in Jesus' name, I take authority over every bit of that, every part of lethargy, apathy, every attack that was designed to keep you from desiring him. Because you know what? Deep down, you do desire him more than anything. Deep down in your born-again spirit, you love Jesus more than anything. That's who you are if you're born again. But because of difficulty, because of pain, because of offense, someone offended you, someone hurt you, the church hurt you. Because of these matters, you started to allow some of these things can come if we allow offense. And God is wanting to cut that off. You know, and it's okay. You know, I understand. Listen, I was hurt so badly by the death process, I could barely function anymore. And I actually died on the inside. Now, I could still move in the spirit. I knew how to do it, but I couldn't feel anything anymore. I went numb, emotionally numb. Someone in here, you've been through too much. You've been through too much for too long. And you just kind of shut down emotionally, and you're going through the motions, doing the best you know to do. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the effects of the journey off of you. I break road weariness off of you. The hits and the trauma, I break trauma off of people. Yes. Those hits that have happened in the spirit, words that were spoken that were not what God is saying, I break that off of you in Jesus' name. I speak life. I speak life to your spirit. I speak life to your heart. I speak life. I command life to come into you. And Father, I just speak, if people have been numb, or if they just kind of shut down because they couldn't do it anymore, Father, we ask you right now for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to raise them back up to their first state, your first love. Listen, you never stopped loving Jesus. Your first love didn't die, and it didn't go away. It got buried.
Yes.
It got buried under wounding and pain and difficulty. Remember the parable of the sower. You know, weeds grew up and it began to choke the plant. Are you feeling suffocated? Some of us need to start dealing with the weeds. Don't be one that gets taken out because of wounding. The Holy Spirit, He will heal you. He can heal you. Listen, He can raise the dead. You're looking at somebody, if you're looking at me, you're looking at somebody that was dead and gone emotionally. My life was over. Had no hope at all, didn't care, didn't want to live, couldn't feel nothing. I was a goner, and yet, through relationship with the Holy Spirit, He raised me from the dead to do His work. If you need to leave, it's okay, I understand. If you got, you know, if you need to go, it's perfectly okay. You're at liberty. But I'm telling you, God wants to raise you back up into that first love that once you had. It never did die. You never stopped loving Jesus. You just stopped being able to feel it. Okay? And that's actually normal when you go through too much. Jesus understands. He's not mad. He understands. I see Him walking with you on a road. And He's saying, you know, He's not even pushing you. He's like going at your pace. But He desires for you to be made whole again. He desires for you to be made whole again. In Jesus' name. I saw somebody on that road and you had a backpack full of rocks that you've carried and it's heavy and you're like, oh, his yoke isn't easy and his burden isn't light. But you have a heavy backpack because you got stuff in there that is not what He would have you carry. You're trying to do His job. And He's saying, drop the backpack. Just drop it. Drop the rocks of worry and fear and trying to carry it and trying to control it and trying to fix it. I love prayer warriors and I'm a prayer warrior, but sometimes prayer warriors can fall in a trap of thinking they have to fix it through intercession, because we see so many miracles, right? We see it a lot. So we say, this will fix it. I'm going to pray and pray and pray and pray. And sometimes, though, it's time to take it to the altar and drop it there and say, I can't fix this, but you can. and I'm going to believe you to fix it. And I feel like this person with the backpack full of rocks, you need to drop that thing and say, you know what, I'm just going to go up. Because remember how happy you were when you first knew Jesus? You know why? Because you weren't carrying all that stuff.
Yeah.
You were just having a relationship with the King, and it was fun, and it was glorious, and you loved him, and you just used to just have a great time with him. And then somehow, over the years, you started taking on the junk. And God's saying, no more, no more. And to one woman, he's saying, you're my little girl, you're still my little girl. Yeah. You always have been. And that hasn't changed, but you started to do my job. You started to do my job. Stop it. Stop doing my job. You let me do my job and you do your job. And then you won't have to carry that heavy load anymore. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Someone in here, you have thinking problems. I don't totally understand this, but you've had some issues with your mind. And sometimes you have issues with your thinking, and you know it and you recognize it, but you haven't known how to fix it. Right now, we just break that off in the name of Jesus, and we release healing into your thoughts and your mind. You're going to be able to think clear. You're going to be able to remember in a clear way. You're going to be able to think straight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like it's a new day. I feel like old things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And there, like Lori said at the beginning, you'll walk out and you might say, I'm not sure if I received or not. About 3 days from now, you go, oh, oh, that feel different. Something's a little different. I see times of refreshing coming for those that will just be simple little Christians. Just be a simple Christian, you know. Don't worry so much about learning everything. Be a simple Christian that loves the Savior, that walks with him, dances before him, and sings to him, and hangs out with him, and has a good time with him. If you do that, you'll always be okay. No matter what happens in the world, you will be okay. You'll be safe. You feel done? Okay, can I tell you one more thing? You guys got enough juice for one more? You're looking pretty tired. And I know some of you Illinoisans have heard this, but I feel like I'm supposed to say it. As we know, there's been some trouble in the world, right? And some people have been fearful or worried or scared or what's going on. How's it going to work out? And I want to share this with you because God keeps bringing this up more and more. Many years ago, I was praying with some friends. We were just in a prayer meeting in their living room, and I had a picture, and I believe it's for this day that we are in. And in this picture, we were fellowshipping. We were like having a tea party. We were sharing little lake cakes and tea, having a gas. And we're just having a great time. We were actually up inside a tornado, but we were not aware there was even a storm. We were just having a great time fellowshipping. We weren't even praying. We were just fellowshipping. And as we fellowshipped, I looked down and I realized we were in a tornado and there was this tail spinning and it was destroying things. I mean, this was a terrific storm. This tornado was obliterating buildings. I was watching it, and yet we were fine. We were fine because we were in him. We were hardly aware there was a storm. Get it? Now, you will see some things. You will see some shaking in the earth. And you, if you're in the flesh, you'll be afraid. Fear will try to get you. God recently spoke to me again about this tornado. And you know how the tail of a tornado, you know, it just spins everywhere. And it goes down from the big body of the tornado. And he said, how much people are shaken is proportional to where they are on that tail. In other words, if you're up in him, in the place, in the spirit, you'll hardly be aware there's even a shaking going on. But if you're still earthly minded and too bound to the things of this world, you'll still be okay, but you're going to get a lot. You're going to be thrown around a lot, right? Okay, last part. I asked him, what are the buildings that are being destroyed? It was like they were toothpicks. They were just exploding. This tail was, I saw it going down a seashore, down this beach, and these buildings were just exploding like they were nothing. And he said it's things that man has built, like man-made religion or man-made, you know, political stuff, things that were made of man, that which was not built by God. Things that were built by God will be just fine, just fine. And I feel like he's saying you're going to be fine too. Just stay in him. That's the safest place. That's the safest place. Okay? So we love you. Thanks for being patient. I know it was a long night, but we really felt like this was important. And I'm just praying that if God spoke to you, if even if you didn't understand it, that those words will continue to ring in your ears and you'll come into, oh yeah, I think that was me and I'm going to receive. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.